We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Better Living. I'm your host, Nick Carissimi. It is May and it's National Water Safety Month. We got a lot to talk about today, specifically how to keep kids and families safe around water. The YMCA has a cool program happening right now, and scholarships are also involved. Here to help me learn more about it is the YMCA's Senior Manager of Aquatics, Lindsay Mondick. How are you doing today?
Great, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking the time. So let's talk about what you do for the YMCA. When I say Senior Manager of Aquatics, what do you do for the YMCA?
Yeah, so I support YMCAs from our national office, the YMCA of the USA, in terms of aquatic programming. So all of our locations across the country offer great aquatic programming, and I help them with innovative new programming and any questions they might have in program implementation locally.
So you're not
in addition, I also am an advocate on a national level for drowning prevention and safety around water.
So you're not exactly on a lifeguard tower?
Not every day, no. But I have plenty of hours in under my belt as it relates to lifeguarding in my day.
So what is your experience with that?
I have been in the aquatics industry for 25 years. Started in high school and college as a lifeguard and swim instructor. And through engaging with the YMCA, I've been fortunate to call YMCA home in terms of career throughout my adulthood. So,
did you start off with did your aquatic life, let's say, start off at the YMCA?
Actually, it was at a local community pool where I was a lifeguard and swim instructor, and I started with the YMCA in college part-time, which grew into a full-time opportunity.
So you have dedicated your life to water safety. So what was it about that kind of made you want to stick with that area? Because there's a lot of different things that you could do for the YMCA.
Yeah, I've always loved swimming, and I've also loved leading and coaching others. And so I really resonated at a very young age with the ability to teach and impact and build relationships with youth through teaching swimming lessons or leading lifeguard courses. And it just continued to be a passion in leading and coaching and teaching others around the water.
When you're trying to develop new ways of keeping people safe around water, what are you really trying to look at? Because when I think of swimming lessons, I'm only thinking of making sure that you're staying on top of the water, learning different strokes, those kind of things.
Yeah, well, when it comes to safety around water, there are layers of protection. So obviously, one of the main things the YMCA advocates for is supervision. Active supervision by parents and caregivers when kids are around the pool, as well as swimming skills and learning how to rescue or help others. In terms of swimming skills, which you introduced there, it would be that, like you said, kids have the ability to float and get on their backs. At the Y, we have two key skills that are a part of both our swimming lesson program as well as our safety around water program, and that is jump, push, turn, and grab, which teaches a child to push off the bottom if they are submerged and get back up to the surface while turning to the wall and grabbing the side of the pool or moving towards the edge of a lake or waterfront. And then the other skill is swim, float, swim. So like you said, combining the ability to float on your back with then being able to make forward progress towards safety.
You used an interesting term, active supervision. More than parents just being around a pool, actively participating and making sure that everybody's staying safe. When you talk to parents, what are some of the things that you want to let them know that they need to do to make sure that people stay safe around pools or bodies of water?
Absolutely. Well, you know, any time that they are supervising or around the pool, we always, at the Y, we advocate for somebody to be a designated water watcher. And that water watcher never takes their eyes off the participants in the water, meaning no distractions by cell phones or extended conversations. Maybe not participating in libations like consuming alcohol while you're watching children under on the water. Really just keeping yourself free from any distractions so that your full focus can be on the children that you're watching and making sure that somebody is accountable and says that they are in charge of that in that role.
I just thought of this. What have cell phones done to water safety? I have to imagine that this is one of the things where cell phones have not helped us.
Yeah, you know, just I would say, you know, parents are very easy to be distracted when they're around the water. And so cell phones, I would say, continue to be a contributing factor to that. It's really easy to get lost in a web search or checking your social media posts or emailing somebody back and checking texts. Instead of really being vigilant and watching and being an active supervisor of activities around you.
Has that become part of the training program for the YMCA when you're training either parents or lifeguards?
Absolutely. So it's definitely part of our lifeguard training in constant and vigilant supervision. In lifeguarding, we have what we call a 10-10 rule, in that lifeguards should be actively scanning their area of supervision every 10 seconds and able to get to a person in an additional 10 seconds. And then when we're working with community members, specifically either with swimming lessons or our safety around water program, for the parents, the education is really, like I mentioned, be a water watcher and truly just defining what being a water watcher means for them.
Let's go back to talking about what parents can do to make sure that everybody stays safe. So we're making sure they're not drinking. We're making sure that they're staying off of their cell phones, the basics. But, you know, to really be safe, especially for people that own pools or are at pools a lot, what are some of the things that you would recommend parents do to help make them more effectively, let's say, water watchers?
Right. So again, for water watchers, it would be, in addition to what we just mentioned in being vigilant, I would add to make sure that they are comfortable and know how to rescue or help somebody who's in trouble, whether it be a reaching assist and or having a phone nearby to call 911 if there was an emergency. And then having, if it's at a home pool, having an appropriate rescue device or flotation aid available to give to somebody if they are in need of help.
How do you get people trained in that? Because I think that it would be the natural reaction to have someone just dive in after somebody when there's an issue in the water, but that could actually be catastrophic.
Absolutely. We never want to advocate for somebody to go in. It's the adage or the saying that's out there, the phrasing, I should say, of throw, don't go. So we never want somebody to jump in and make a rescue if they aren't trained, meaning with some basic life-saving or lifeguard training. Just having that idea of throwing an object or a rope to somebody or extending a reaching pole or a stick out to a branch out to somebody if they were in trouble rather than jumping in, because it could lead to two fatalities or injuries rather than a single.
This doesn't apply to us here in Texas, but what about ocean safety? Is that something that the YMCA also teaches? Because that's going to be very different from just pools, lakes, or ponds.
Absolutely. Waterfront, we have waterfront YMCAs, wise at camps around lakes, rivers, as well as oceans. That waterfront safety is built into our safety around the water program. Water competency, or that idea of the swimming skills and the aquatic safety knowledge and helping others, that competency changes in different aquatic environments. So the skills to keep somebody safe, obviously in a pool, are very different under different conditions that you can experience outdoors and at the ocean, like rip currents and obviously wind and weather and distance definitely would be some of the differences that you might encounter between those different environments.
It is National Water Safety Month. On the line with me is the YMCA Senior Manager of Aquatics, Lindsay Mondick. Lindsay, how important is it for people to be realistic with their capabilities in and around the water?
I think a good self-awareness of your abilities is crucial. And also an understanding that just because you have really great swimming skills, nobody is ever drown-proof, quote-unquote. There have been many records, I'm sure, of people who have been very competent swimmers by many people's definitions, who have still been overcome in different environments and have succumbed to drowning. So I think the biggest piece is that self-awareness tied with being able to combine that swimming skill with the safety skills that you might need in the different environments you might encounter.
Have you ever gotten into trouble in the water? Have you ever had a close call?
Oh, absolutely. I can remember back in high school, this was after I, a competitive swimmer, a lifeguard already. We were on a trip down to Jacksonville, Florida, for my band. I was in our marching band. And we went to the beach one January morning, and we were playing around in the surf. And I got pulled under by a rip current. And I can remember being underwater thinking, I can't get up. And so, again, just testimony to the fact that anybody, even if they're competent and strong and young, can still succumb to the environment. And it still can be a risky situation.
So they say in situations like that you're supposed to kind of relax and let it take you for a minute so you don't tire yourself out. How did you get out of that situation?
Exactly what you just said. I remembered back to what I had learned in my swimming lessons and my lifeguarding classes and just said, don't fight. Just let it take you. It probably pulled me for about 10 more seconds from that panic moment. And then once I felt the current kind of release a little bit, I was able to go up to the surface and find my footing.
Were you far out?
I was probably about 20 feet from where I had started, so not as far out as I think a lot of cases have been reported in terms of rip currents.
10 seconds, 20 feet, that does not sound like much, but when you're in that moment.
Yeah, it was definitely scary.
What did you play in band?
I was a percussionist.
Me too! What'd you play?
I did snare drum.
I played snare drum too. Look at us.
Look at us.
A couple of band nerds learning about water safety. All right, so right now the YMCA has a program going. It's called Safety Around Water, the Safety Around Water Program. That's kind of what we're talking about today. Explain to me what this program is all about.
Yeah, so Safety Around Water is a call to action by the YMCA to really combat the statistics that are out there to allow access to all populations to swimming lessons. Ultimately, we know that children and minority populations, drowning is a leading cause of death for children 1 to 4, and the second leading cause of death for children 5 to 14. And because of this, the why, because we have the people, the facilities, and the pools to be able to make an impact, we have launched this Safety Around Water program. The goal this year is to teach approximately 3,300 kids across the country the Safety Around Water program and swimming lessons.
I was absolutely shocked to learn the numbers on this. Drowning, the number one cause of death for kids 1 to 4. Are they drowning in pools? How is this occurring?
Yeah, it happens in lots of different bodies of water, whether they're natural bodies of water, tubs, buckets, and pools, unfortunately. So water is definitely something that draws children to it, and if they don't have the skills and the supervision, unfortunately, drowning occurs far too often.
Is the Safety Around Water program, is that a new program to the YMCA, or is this something you guys have been doing?
We've launched it in 2015, so this is our third summer with this program.
Were you instrumental in developing this program specifically?
Yes. Yeah. So I was fortunate enough to be part of the development of the program, absolutely.
What did you want to get out of this program? What did you want to add to it? How did you want to make this different?
I think what we wanted to do is build a program that speaks to both who is drowning as well as how youth are drowning. So an interesting statistic is, you know, that I mentioned earlier, is 88% of drownings happen under some form of supervision. So supervision in quotation marks, right? So there is an adult or a caregiver who has been charged with watching a child. And so that supervision, active supervision, might have lapsed. So one, we really, with this program, want to advocate and educate families of what active supervision is and that water watcher concept. The second piece is that 60% of drownings happen within 10 feet of safety. And so our two skills, the jump, push, turn, and grab, and the swim, float, swim skills that I talked about earlier, really, again, answer that problem in terms of teaching kids some simple basic skills for competency.
Before we talk more about the specifics of this program, how long does a dangerous situation take? Like, how long does it take for somebody to actually really get into trouble in water and possibly drown?
For children, as little as 20 seconds.
20 seconds, really?
Yep. And it's silent. Drowning isn't like, you know, the famous TV show Baywatch, where there's a lot of yelling and splashing. Often it happens without anybody being aware, or it looks like a child is often playing or doing some bobs up and down in the water, and they may silently slip under.
Did the television show Baywatch make life better or worse for someone in your field?
Oh, I would say it brings, I would say, a little bit of both. Obviously, it definitely helps in terms of bringing attention to the fact that lifeguard and aquatics is a professional job. But I think on the flip end, it sometimes brings the dramatic side to lifeguarding that might be seen as a negative.
I could see some relief once that show kind of went the wayside. I could kind of see that being the case.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's talk more specifics about this program. Is this for kids? Is this for parents? Is this for families? Who is this program really targeted towards?
Our program is really focused on youth ages 4 to 14. With that said, we do have lots of our YMCAs who have expanded that reach to include parent and child in the water together, as well as adults. And teen-centric programming as well. So while the focus is that 4 to 14, because we know that is who is at risk most for drowning, the program is available to many ages.
So what are some of the things that people are going to be doing at the program?
Good. So they'll be learning. So each day the students will learn about a safety topic, anything from doing a reaching assist to helping somebody out of the water, obviously two swimming skills, to some of the swimming skills themselves. So the program starts off with teaching kids water acclimation, so how to get their face wet, how to submerge, how to do front and back floats with assistance. If they are not comfortable in the water, fosters that comfort, meeting that student where they are. And then the goal is, again, to have that student be able to do the two benchmark skills that I've mentioned, the jump, push, turn, and grab, and the swim, float, swim. In different environments and with different levels or distances built in.
Does it take kids a while to get accustomed to water or more comfortable with it, or have you noticed the kids are really just ready to get in and have fun?
I think it usually depends on the student. You know, often we have lots of youth who've never had any experience with a swim program, and so those kids might be apprehensive. The apprehension might come, again, because they haven't had access, or that they had a parent who was also very fearful of the water might have influenced their child to have very similar feelings. Then we also have kids who, you know, they are really willing and able to learn and very exuberant about the opportunity and kind of hit the ground running with learning the skills.
Do you have to be kind of careful with those more daring kids? Because I could see that would be a thing where they're just like straight to the deep end, and it's like, no, not yet.
Absolutely. I think in all roles of teaching, and any teacher or educator would probably agree, that we use different instructional skills to make sure that those students understand boundaries and rules to make sure the class is effective for all.
Now, you've kind of hinted at it, but is this class geared towards just anybody, or is it really for the novice, or do you need some experience? What do you think is the best in those terms?
Focus is safety. So teaching students the basics of front load and back load and making forward progress to safety. It does start talking about building some of the strokes, like front crawl and back crawl, but that is not the main focus of this program. We really focus on that in the YMCA in our swimming lesson program. But I won't say that we wouldn't work on that with youth. If we divide our groups in our Ys with this program, typically we might put some of the advanced students together and start working on some of those advanced skills.
What is the safest way to stay above the water? Is it just floating on your back? Is it learning how to tread effectively? What's a good way to really make sure that you've learned one skill that is going to keep you the safest?
Sometimes that depends on different people and their different bodies and obviously their strength. But overall, I would say, in my opinion, it would be the back float. Most people can get on their back and keep that position with relatively little effort. And then it right behind the back float, I would agree with you and say treading water is also a very valuable skill for somebody to have in terms of safety.
What would you say is the difference between respecting water and fearing it?
Respecting water means that you understand the power that water has. And you acknowledge it, but you also, at the same time, are not fearful of it. So, whereas with fear, obviously, there is a built-in instinct, personal instinct that keeps you away from it, in that sense.
Now, you kind of mentioned it earlier. The Safety Around Water program lasts for a couple. Actually, how long does the program last?
The program is built on 8-week sessions, or the national program model. We might have Ys based on either the partner or the time frame they're working with. They might either condense it or lengthen it by a week or two, but the overall program is 8 weeks.
And how many times a week are they meeting?
On average, once a week. The model, it's 8 sessions. So 8 lessons is the typical program. So that 8 lessons could be done over 2 weeks. It could be done over 4 weeks or 8 weeks.
Well, I like that this isn't a quick program. This is going to really give kids the amount of time necessary to get comfortable around the water and practice these things and really feel safe.
Absolutely. We know, just like education, that the more repetition a student has, the better they can execute a skill. And often in youth development, it's well known that youth feel repetition is valuable and not boring.
One of the big things that you guys have going right now, and super exciting, is you guys are offering scholarships to the actual program. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Our YMCAs had the opportunity to apply for national funding to support the program locally. Over 400 Ys apply for funding to support this program, which will result in approximately 3,300 youth across the country being able to learn safety around water skills.
If people want to participate in the Safety Around Water program, what's the easiest way for them to do that?
So, yeah, they can reach out to their local YMCA and ask about the Safety Around Water or swimming lesson program. So over 500 of our Ys across the country offer this program. In addition, if they don't get access to the Safety Around Water program, our Ys across the country often have financial assistance and scholarships available for the swimming lesson program. And ultimately, the Safety Around Water program is the foundation of our swimming lesson curriculum as well.
If people went through this program and they were interested to learn more and wanted to keep up with it, what is usually the next step?
It would be, as I alluded to, registering for a swimming lesson program. So again, the safety around water teaches them the basics, whereas the swimming lessons then move into stroke technique and refinement, as well as additional safety awareness and rescue skills.
As I mentioned, May is National Water Safety Month. Right now, the YMCA has a great program called Safety Around Water. If you want to get involved with that program, especially if you want to get involved with the scholarship for that program, I would suggest hitting up their websites. If you're closer to Fort Worth, log on to ymcafw.org. If you're closer to Dallas, hit up ymcadallas.org or visit their national website, ymca.net. I have been speaking with the YMCA Senior Manager of Aquatics, Lindsay Mondick. Lindsay, thank you very much for your time. It was great speaking with you.
Yeah, thanks again. And thank you for sharing our program with your community.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.